Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bowles.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? Oh, clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'm convinced I had a food yesterday that... Well, I'm convinced you've never had it. We'll do a Has Howard Eaten That.
I'm trying to think if I've eaten anything lately. You'd be like, hey, that's not bad.
You had 6 weeks of shoulder recovery. The doctor didn't say, you know what's good for shoulders is...
Fruit.
And you said no.
And I said, forget the shoulder recovery. And I'll just be gimpy the rest of my life.
You didn't. You had 6 weeks to sit around and...
Eat a lot of pizza.
Nothing new. Not one new item. No?
Who are you talking to?
You didn't think, look, here's a pizza menu. Like, what if I got it with a green pepper?
Hey, I went to a French restaurant.
Have you had a green pepper?
I've had them. I'm not fans of them.
Okay.
I'm not a peppers guy. I went to a French restaurant. Does that count for anything?
Did you try something new?
Of course not. I had chicken cordon bleu.
Okay. You've had that before.
I have.
What's the last new food that you have tried?
Oh, that's what I'm actually...
It's kind of like asking somebody the last time they went to the movies. Oh, boy, let me think about it. The last new food you tried?
I have no idea.
Was it peanut butter the time that you tried peanut butter here?
No. My wife, every now and then, kind of creates certain dishes. But I don't know that it's like food that I've never tried. Like, we had eggplant recently. And I'm not... I mean, we don't eat eggplant that often, but I it's like, hey, this is really good. Let's do this again. So, I mean, that doesn't count as a new food. It's just we don't normally have eggplant. I don't know. I love the question. I don't want to bring the show to a halt. I do love the question because I feel like there was something recently that I ate, and I'd be like, ooh, Jeremy would be very proud of me that I actually tried this. I just don't have the answer for you.
All right.
I'm sorry. It'll come to me eventually.
So the Amherst are home tonight, and it's game four. I was looking into tickets. I'd like to... You know, going to Sabres games this year was a ton of fun, especially late in the season. Crowds started to grow. RJ night was a big night. The last game of the season was a good one. Some afternoon games. The Amherst had 10,000 for their game three win.
Yep.
And tonight, also AHL prices, by the way. Thumbs up on that.
Not too shabby.
You know, I was looking at that too. And thinking,
even playoff prices in the AHL aren't too bad?
Yeah. Not bad.
All right.
I was thinking about it. And, you know, now that... 5 years ago, it would have been a lot easier to just say, pick up and spontaneously do that. Now it's how much work do I want to go to kids,
right.
Who would go. So I probably won't end up going to this Amherst game, but I gave it a look.
Well, it's an easy drive. It is an intimate arena to watch a game in.
That is true. There's some good local establishments around there. Nice trip. And to be at a playoff hockey game, especially with them having a chance to go up 3-1.
Well, close the series out.
Yeah.
So, right,
best of five. Right.
Yeah. And seems like there's a little bit of a buzz about that team. You know, how they snuck, well, I wouldn't say snuck into the playoffs, but they needed some things to go their way down the last few games.
Andy Dalton
they
their way
help.
In.
Yeah,
they needed somebody to help them, and somebody helped them.
Right. So they needed Toronto lose, and they got that. Nah, I won't make another Toronto crack. They got that. They get into the postseason. They're winning overtime. All four of their wins are in overtime. They could knock off the first place team in their division if they beat Utica tonight. the, you know, some the people that we might expect to see here next season, like Paterka, are having a big playoff. It is a cool place to watch a game. It's been years since I've been to Blue Cross Arena, whether for an Amherst game. I saw some Bandits Nighthawks games in there. It can get loud. It is a really fun environment to be in because, again, it's, what is it, 10, 11,000 capacity? So there's not a bad seat in the place. You feel really close and on top of the action. So, yeah, if you go, I think if anybody wants to go, it is a 7:05 game tonight. Hopefully they win, and there'll be another round of playoffs for the Rochester Americans.
Krebs, Quinn, Paterka, Samuelson.
Although Samuelson he's has been not hurt, been right. playing, right? I don't remember. I don't think he's back yet in this series.
Right. I was just getting to the guys that are definite Sabres.
Well, Fitzgerald is playing there. He's back next season.
He's been with the team. I wonder about him for next season. We'll see. Like that, you know, you don't have to get rid of a guy.
I have a Sabres question for you, too, so I know you have one for me, but go ahead.
Mine is easy. You know, we're waiting on Paul Hamilton here. Here's one. We haven't had this conversation in a while about what to do because the Sabres, you know, they've been chasing their tail. Who's untouchable for this offseason? We just had a quick conversation with Jeff Merrick, and he said optimism in Buffalo is warranted. Things are going great. Now, next year, can they compete for a playoff spot? And on and on. You're watching playoff teams. You're seeing now the caliber of team that you ultimately want to be. Florida, Colorado, Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Who on this roster is untouchable?
Okay, so the first name that came to mind was Dahlin.
Yep. Second name comes to mind?
Actually, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tage Thompson.
Ooh.
But
I have somebody ahead of him.
I'm just looking at the stats, and he was the first guy on the roster.
Sure, sure.
But Tuck is untouchable. I think Tuck's a huge part of this thing, this turnaround going forward. Trying to think who else. Next, untouchable.
You still haven't reached my number two answer.
I know. That's why I'm looking. Give me a second to look at the roster. I suppose I would say, Cousins. Cousins I would not move. I like a lot of things about
I would
game.
Not say. I would not say Cousins
who's your untouchable?
Is untouchable. And, you know, anytime an untouchable list doesn't mean I'm kicking everybody out.
Yeah.
My number two, Power.
I forgot about Owen Power. Right. No, honestly, I pulled up their stats at ESPN.com. Power's at the bottom. He hadn't played in that many games. I totally forgot about Owen Power. He's down at the bottom with Paterka and Quinn and you know, those guys you play. But sure, that makes sense.
Dahlin, Power, Tuck, you know, Cousins you mentioned. I wouldn't necessarily say Cousins. I'm not looking to get rid of anybody, but there will be tough decisions at some point, whether that's Cousins or Krebs or...
I think it's Olofsson, actually. Like
he's the best.
He's he's the best guy I would move.
Easily move. Would have no qualms about moving.
I wouldn't have qualms about
no
moving.
No qualms.
Yeah. Oh, is he here? Okay. No, I'd have no qualms about him. I think that's an interesting. He's an RFA, right?
Yep.
So his contract, what it might be going forward, keeping him long term. What are you going to do about Olofsson? I think is a big decision for them to deal with long term.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one, or not an easy, but a popular answer. He's good, and you could see it happening. Then again, he played really, really well down the stretch.
But we bring in, and we'll bring in Paul on this note. Like, Paul was yesterday. Hi, Paul, by the way. Good morning.
Hello.
Sorry. Like, Paul was saying yesterday, hey, Paterka, is he here next season? And you said, Paul, he's here if you can guarantee him a spot in the top six. If not, what's the point? Put him in Rochester. If you were to say, we're not committing long-term to Olofsson, you would put Paterka in the top six then.
Absolutely. Yeah, if one of those guys isn't around, then I absolutely would put him in the top six. I just think that's where he needs to be. I don't see the point of Quinn or Paterka, you know, playing a bottom six role or something like that. I just don't see how that would work for either one of them because I think, you know, both of them, their futures are top six, and that's how they would excel.
What happens with Olofsson and his contract situation going forward?
Well, I'm sure they're scared of arbitration. They don't want to get to arbitration with him. So I think it's going to be try to avoid arbitration with all costs. You just don't know what an arbitrator, where they might go with it. And they're going to try to get something done without that. What he did in the last half of the season, in the last couple of months, when the team got better, he got better. And, you know, he was hard for other teams to handle, both 5-on-5 and on the power play. And, you know, he was one of the reasons the power play was as good as it was at the end, and the best in the National Hockey League. And he was on the number two power play, but they were scoring goals because, you know, he was scoring. He was their leading scorer on the power play in those 2 months, and Krebs was second. And they were both on the number two unit. So, you know, he was able to get, help them get two units that were both dangerous and both scoring.
To Jeremy's question, what would your list, who would be at the top of your Sabres untouchable list this offseason? Kevin Adams gets a call and like, no way, let's not even talk
about
this.
How many do you have, and what's the order?
Well, I think Power and Darlene both are guys that I think you know, they need to move forward with. Quite honestly, I like a lot of their young players, but I don't know if I call anybody untouchable. It's one of those things, tell me the deal, and I'll tell you if it's it would have to be a phenomenal deal if I'm going to trade Krebs or Cousins. Or, you know, Samuelson's another one that I don't think I'd want to part with. I think it would evolve to maybe, you know, two or three guys. But, you know, I'm not real interested in trading Thompson right now. But, you know, the word untouchable.
Your two number one picks, you know, like the, that might be it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so other than that, I mean, it would be tell me the trade. I wouldn't be excited to trade some of these guys, but I wouldn't say 100% untouchable.
Yeah, I'm not eager to trade Samuelson either, you know, like, but I couldn't probably list him as that.
Yeah. I'm not eager at all to trade any of those three guys, Darlene, Samuelson, or Power, but. You know, because I think that's a good starting point from a very, very good defense. This, you know, but it would have to be some ridiculous trade, you know, that somebody would come up with.
Paul, the Rochester Amherst play tonight. Who is Lucas Rusek?
He's a guy that really, you know, he had a knee injury coming into training camp. He was a sixth-round pick by Botterill, I believe, in 19. And, you know, somebody that's kind of off the radar a little bit, but he's really shown, you know, he's from the Czech Republic and he was able to get, I believe, 19 games in, you know, after he went through his rehab and got the 19 games in. And now in the playoffs, here's a guy that, you know, has two goals and an assist in five games playing, you know, on a line that doesn't play a whole lot. He doesn't play, they don't play a regular shift. What they usually do is dress 11 forward, so those two guys go out with somebody double-shifting, like Peterka or Ristolainen, and that's when they scored, when Peterka was out there with them, and Peterka made a great pass to Rusek, but Rusek also got himself available in the open area to get that pass and score. Talking to Seth Appert about him, he talks about he's a very, very intelligent player, and his intelligence really comes through, so... You know, we always hear about Quinn and we always hear about Peterka and those kinds of guys. But if you're looking for a dark horse type of a prospect that, you know, maybe you'll see here in 2 years or so, Rusek might be your guy. I mean, this is a guy that they really, really like and the players enjoy playing with him. They kind of look forward to playing with him on his line. So, you know, he's just somebody that is coming off that knee injury and just kind of getting his career started now that he's, you know, gone through that 6 months of rehab.
We've been talking about the second round of the playoffs a little bit, Paul, as well. They resume, or they start, I should say, second round tonight. Scoring is up. At least it was in the first round. It was up in the regular season. It was up in the first round as the highest scoring first round in 20 years. Maybe not so coincidentally. This could be as simple as telling you that power plays are up per game. What were you seeing in the first round that could account for more scoring at a time when typically it goes in the other direction in the playoffs?
I think some of it was the games weren't as close, and once the games aren't close, all the foolishness starts, and that's when the penalties start. You know, the referees will start calling penalties if they want to try to bring that game under control, and then, you know, the game's out of control, and now the goals start flying in. You know, so that's kind of what we've seen with that. It was usually a lot of these games, because we didn't see a lot of overtime games until we got really late in the series.
Right.
And a lot of it was the game started to get away from teams. You know, look at the Tampa Bay, you know, Toronto series. Every game got away from the other team, it seemed like. And then, you know, they were playing the third period as everybody's trying to send a message type of thing. And the referees are trying to stop that message from being sent. So now there's no more penalties. And as the penalties mount up, now the goals start mounting up even more. But, you know, when the things got tight in the game sevens, you know, it seemed like some of the scoring, especially in Dallas, Calgary, and some of the others, started to dry up a little bit.
Paul with us on the Wester Hotline. What's the most interesting, in your opinion, what is the most interesting matchup in this next round?
Probably Tampa, Florida. And Edmonton, Calgary is, you know, they're, it's just because it's the quote battle of Alberta, and that can get pretty wild with the way they go. But Florida and Tampa, they have some rough, tough, wild games, and they have all year. It started with preseason and then hasn't let up at all. Those are two teams that hate each other. Those are two very good teams. And so I think the Florida-Tampa one probably is the one I'm looking forward to the most, and I think as the probably, in my mind, going to be the closest to the group.
Is there a this is not a prediction question, so don't yell at me. Is there a team that you would like to see win the Cup? Florida is the only franchise that doesn't have any Stanley Cups to its credit. Everybody else does at some point in franchise history. Is there someone you'd root for, whether it's for the fan base, whether it's for certain players on the roster? It's good for the sport if this. You got a team you'd like to see win?
Not really. I don't think there's anybody I'm, quote, rooting for. You know, I'm rooting for good hockey, I guess, when we get to this point. But there isn't a team that, you know, like a Cinderella team that, you know, you sit there and say, you know, like when the St. Louis Blues won it, they were kind of the Cinderella team moving along, and it was kind of fun watching them. But now they've won one. Rangers, Carolina, no. Tampa's already done it. I'm not real interested in Florida winning the Cup. I'm to a point now where I'm just rooting for good hockey. Now, I don't necessarily care who wins.
I don't know how much you've seen of the Panthers so far. I was curious, how Reinhardt is doing so far in the postseason?
He's playing very well. He scored some big goals in the first round for Florida. You know, when they needed it, there was a game that he tied up very late in that game. I don't remember which one it was. Florida just seemed to be spinning their wheels, and he got the goal, and I believe they won that game, if I'm not mistaken. So he's been playing very well for them, just as he has all year. Nothing's changed. That's the thing with him. He's just consistent. You know, you know what you're getting from Sam Reinhardt, and you tend to get it night in and night out. And it doesn't matter. You know, this is the first time he's been in the playoffs, but now that I've gotten a chance to see him, it doesn't matter if it's the playoffs or the regular season. He's just who he is, and that's the way he plays.
Couple quick things before we let you go. One, Vegas fires Pete DeBoer. Any thoughts on that? I'll make it a two-part question. Vegas firing DeBoer, and what about Barry Trotz for Vegas? I mean, Trotz is going to get a job somewhere, right?
I wondered that. Now, we'll see. If he gets hired in Vegas, I'll wonder even louder. It's like, did DeBoer get fired because they wanted to hire Barry Trotz, type of a thing? Or were they just planning on it anyway? You know, Vegas did have a lot of injuries this year. It's the first time they haven't made the playoffs, but there have been other folks who feel the Golden Knights have underachieved under him, even when they've been in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, so they figure they should have gone farther than they did. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, who winds up getting the job. And as I said, if it's Barry Trotz, I'll just wonder again, you know, did they make the move because they wanted him?
Yeah, it's funny. We had Jeff. I feel like Trotz is, right, he's won wherever he's been, right, including a cup in Washington. And I should double check this, Paul. You would know better than I would. Your memory's better than mine. What the playoff success the Islanders had under Trotz, they didn't win a cup, but that I would assume that's been the best playoff success that franchise has had since they were great in the 80s. They went through like a 20-year stretch where they didn't do squat in the postseason, and Trotz gets some really competitive, like a cup, I think, cup contender level, and they get rid of him. That's why I think he's won wherever he goes, and you would think, I don't know that he'd want to go to Detroit. Who else is open? Philly? I'm trying to think of other openings besides Vegas. It would seem like if you're Vegas and you want, I mean, you're a team that you think is trying to contend for a cup next season, he would seem to be a logical match. We had Jeff Merrick on from Sportsnet last hour talking about Toronto, right? And I don't. It doesn't sound like they're going to make a coaching change. I almost wondered the same thing. Would they look at it and go, hey, you know, we like Keith, but, oh, Trotz is available. We can upgrade there.
Yeah, and that's what I don't understand. I mean, he got them to the conference finals with a team that people weren't anticipating him doing that. And then this happens. But this was a lot of injuries. And, you know, to me, it had to be more than just what this one season was. I mean, if you're going to coach under Lou Lamoriello, you basically do exactly what he says.
Yeah.
And Barry Trotz, I don't know if he's that guy. You know, so I think maybe he clashed with Lou Lamoriello and some of the philosophies, and I think that may have been what this was all about, more than, well, it was just one year that they didn't make the playoffs after the years that they had, the 2 years before that.
Final thing for you, Mr. Hamilton. You're watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're covering the Amerks. You're a busy dude. You're watching the World Championships that are going on. Who's doing well from the Sabres class that's over there?
Well, Cousins, a couple of assists in yesterday's game. And, you know, when I tune in, and first of all, I wasn't thinking of him to even be on Team Canada, and he made the team. And then I tune in for game one, and there he is on the number one line with Dubois from Winnipeg. And not only on the number one line, but in that first game, he was their best player by far. He really played well, and he's playing left wing, something he hasn't done here in Buffalo. He's played right wing and center, but not left wing. But he's really, really excelled and played well, and he's also on their number one power play. And again, has done well with that. So, you know, he's really, I think, continued. I think we saw improvement in his play down the stretch this year, and I think he's carried that into the World Championship, being on Team Canada. Because, you know, a lot of the guys in their exit interviews, we ask, have you been in contact for the World Championships? I'm embarrassed to say we didn't ask Dylan Cousins. I don't think any of us thought he was going to be on Team Canada. I mean, we asked Power, but didn't ask him. And obviously that was a mistake on our part, because not only has he been there, and then Sweden wanted to keep roster spots open. So they've been playing with 15 guys, which is 9 forwards. Rasmus Asplund in the first game led Sweden in time with over 25 minutes. And then in game two, he's their player of the game. He scores 2 goals and is their player of the game. And now that the, you know, Sweden will be adding to their roster now that the first round of the playoffs is over. But, you know, they've been going with 9 guys, and here's a guy that's been getting over 25 minutes a game. And again, has played really well and was their player of the game in the second game.
Well, Mr. Hamilton, enjoy watching all of this hockey, and thank you as always for coming on with us.
Yes, take care, guys.
You can read Paul's latest article on the Amerks, by the way, before they play game 4 tonight. Available online right now at WGR550.com. Paul's segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Raylex Honda, relax, we got this. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
So Crosby has 3 years left on his contract. I've heard that Malkin and the team discussed tying his contract into...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The end of Crosby's term. But I just heard they couldn't get to the same ground. They just weren't able to get to the number. When it came to Letang, I just heard that philosophically they were not in the same spot. The Penguins have made it very clear that they want to improve their cap situation. And I think if all of those players were initially going where they wanted at the beginning anyway, I don't think the Penguins saw it as a path that was going to work for them.
Ms. Elliott Friedman from Sportsnet, there are suggestions, I guess, reports coming out of Pittsburgh that the Penguins offered. There was one report yesterday saying the Penguins offered both Malkin and Letang three-year $15 million contracts, which is way below what their value is. Neither guy, or Crosby was not happy about that, so there are reports suggesting that maybe the Penguins will be moving on from one or both of Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang this offseason as part of a reset, I guess, is how I would use the term.
The Penguins have lost four straight first-round series.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When's the last time? So that's 2018? 2018?
Mike Darnay of KDKA put something up here. Said, I know losing four straight first-round playoff series is frustrating and irritating, and I'm not one to tell people how to feel, but I also think it's important to keep in perspective what this era of Penguins hockey has meant and what a legacy is left by this team. They have the most wins in the salary cap era in the playoffs. Playoff wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Penguins. But four straight first-round exits.
I didn't realize that. They still have one of the best players in the game when he's healthy, and not knocked out with a blow to the head in Crosby. So I wouldn't expect they would rebuild. I take it they're trying to tweak on the fly and create some cap space by getting rid of some of their larger contracts, or at least asking Malkin and Letang to take below market value to help them out with cap space.
Which the story there out of Pittsburgh is that there's no way Malkin's going to take $4 or $5 million.
No, dollars. Nor should he. 20 goal scorers make $4 million, $5 million. You have one 20-goal season. Like Victor Olofsson is, right? What would Victor Olofsson get in arbitration? He would get more than Malkin is being offered at this point.
Yeah.
Average per year.
Malkin, Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel, Evan Rodriguez, UFA.
I like E-Rod. Always like D-Rod. That's a nice bottom that
is
six
an
piece.
Interesting. I don't think the Sabres are going to bring him back.
I like him as a bottom six piece.
I liked him a lot as a bottom six piece here. And he has done very well for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a UFA. I think we can predict E-Rod getting stupid money.
Well,
or at least money that people think will be stupid for E-Rod.
It doesn't hurt having like Crosby help you out every now and then.
He drives play for them. His expected goals, he has really good numbers.
But is he going to get paid like a top six guy and be on a top six line? I think he's more of a piece on a really good deep team.
Could he get $5 million?
Well, if he's getting $5 million, then Malkin should be angry if they're offering him $5 million.
I wonder if they'll want to keep him, bring him back. I mean, he's a UFA.
Well, if they're moving on, Rust was another guy, by the way. The whole, they might move on. It was three guys. It was Letang, Malkin, Letang, and Rust.
Letang is 35. Malkin is 35. Rust is 30.
See, maybe they're moving those guys to open up cap space to do a number of things, including re-signing Rodriguez, because they think he's going to get a serious bump in pay.
They also have goalie questions, what they should do there. I mean, they've only got Tristan Jarry.
Casey DeSmith,
he's a UFA. So is Louis Domingue.
Yeah, Domingue's not an answer.
No. The Sabres goalie question is one of the biggest ones. Like, what do you do about that? And for a team that's going to have money, would they see any value? Okay, Letang, Pittsburgh, sorry, no thanks.
Yeah.
Do you see value in a veteran? I mean, he's a big-time veteran.
Yeah.
And we've seen guys like that. I'm thinking about guys that have lasted much longer than you thought they would. Toronto does this, right, with like Spezza, Thornton. How old is Mark Giordano? Right?
39? Like, no. Is he at 39? He's upper 30s, right?
There's a guy that was...
I think he's 38, 39 maybe?
Yeah.
Is that too old for him? You looking it up?
I am.
He's got to be upper 30s right now, and I think he's a UFA. And they have...
38.
38, and he's a UFA. And they have, I just saw their numbers the other day, they have about $11 million in cap space and only 13 guys under contract for next season.
Well, so, I just mean, would the Sabres be interested in that kind of a move? Think of what Oposo does for them and say, you know what, there's another guy in the league who wants to play another year or two. Mm-hmm. We've got the money to pay him. Should we get Dad for the defenseman? Like, yeah, Oposo's the dad of the team. They call him Dad. And he's been important to them, and they're still going to be young. And I wonder about, you know, what Kevin Adams and Don Granato will think of. Next year, we actually want to have some real expectations to compete. We want to have adversity. And you want maybe another body, another veteran that's been through a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
Have Kyle Oposo call that guy and say, like, buddy, listen, I know you got one more year. You're not sure you should spend it here. Let me tell you how good it is. You need Oposo to help sell that story.
Well, if he's dad, that means Giordano would be like granddad. To me, that's one of the interesting stories of the offseason. I was going to bring it up with Paul, but we kind of had some other stuff I wanted to get to. But what are they doing? There was that stretch where there was this talk about people were hearing what Kevin Adams was saying about Power, that they might want to go out and make sure they had a veteran defenseman
to pair him
opposite
with
Power. Now, if you look at the Sabres defense group next season, I mean,
there's no veterans.
Right. It's Dahlin, Power, Jokiharju, Samuelson, Bryson, Fitzgerald.
I mean, that's not to say, like, Dahlin isn't a veteran,
but
like,
there's no 30-plus guy in the crowd.
There's no
Miller,
grizzled.
Pesek, and Butcher are the three veteran defensemen, right? They're all UFAs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Pesek maybe is back. I don't think Butcher or Miller would be back. And I was curious, what did the Sabres think they need to get? Yes, Dahlin has games played. He's young, but he's got a lot of games under his belt. Jokiharju is young. He's got a lot of games under his belt. You can't say that about Power or Samuelson or Bryson or Fitzgerald. That's a really young group of defensemen. Do they need to bring in someone relatively graybeard, I guess, right? I'm curious about that. If they feel, can you get by with those guys? Or do you have to have a Pesek or someone of a more veteran nature to do whatever you need him to do, whether it's play with Power, maybe it's spot this guy, maybe he doesn't necessarily play 82 games, but you need to bring in some older player to work with your defenseman.
What they need to do is spend money.
Well, they got to get to the floor.
What I mean. They will need to spend money. They will need to get the Boychuk contract back on the books.
Is that coming off?
Yes. Oh, I believe he's finally off the books. Finally. It was 1 year, right? Yeah. So, yeah. $6 million comes off for Boychuk. And, you know, your UFAs are Cody Eakin. Don't think it's coming back.
Hinostroza
wouldn't be expensive.
No, it shouldn't be. I hope he does come back.
John Hayden wouldn't be expensive. Colin Miller, Will Butcher, and Mark Pesek.
Kajula, I think, is a UFA too, right? I don't know that he's coming back.
Yeah.
I think he's a UFA.
He is.
Craig Anderson is a UFA.
Craig Anderson. So is Tokarski. They have no goalies.
Right.
So they'll have to spend money, and you wonder where will they spend it and how much will they spend.
Because you'd look at the forward ranks, right? Forward ranks look fairly set, especially if we're going to add in Quinn and Peterka to the group that was here this past season. You have a guy like Oposo. I'd like to see him re-sign Hinostroza. You have Skinner. You have some older guys in the forward ranks. But that's why I think, to me, and I would assume they're gonna bring in some veteran goalie somehow, whether it's Anderson or somebody else. Someone's coming in to be here with UPL next season. So to me, that's why I think the interesting, if you're spending, is it a pricey veteran defenseman to bring in with a group of, who's the oldest guy on defense next season? Is it Jokiharju, Dahlin?
Yeah.
24-ish, maybe 23? Do you need, I would think that's where you're going to spend some money, to bring in a veteran defenseman to play in that group. And because, again, you have to get to the floor. You know, maybe they re-sign Olofsson to a long-term deal if they think he's ready for it. That could eat up some cap space as well. But I'm really curious about what they do there. I think that's a very talented but very young group. And if Adams thinks it's important to bring in some more experience back there and have somebody who has – is there Oposo? And by the way, Oposo is here because, sure, he's experienced. He's older. Oposo had 21 goals and 45 points, and that's a guy that I looked at and thought –
Can't wait for it to be done, yeah.
Yeah, when's this, right? We were talking about buying him out a couple years ago. So, you know, he's still productive. He's not here just because he's an old guy and he's been around and he's looked up as a leader. He was very productive last season.
You have time for some instant trivia? Instant trivia. It's going to be hockey trivia. And it's going to be what I just mentioned. Stanley Cup playoff games won in the salary cap era. The most would be boring. Let's go fewest.
Fewest
the bottom seven.
Hang on a second. So, I mean, we're counting the Sabres because they don't make the playoffs?
The Sabres are eighth from the bottom. There are seven,
so they're on the cusp.
There are seven franchises with fewer Stanley Cup playoff games won in the cap era.
Arizona's got to be in there.
16. The Sabres have 25. 16. That is below Buffalo.
You want to go? I'll keep guessing.
Oh, I'm not going to help you with this one, no.
Edmonton Oilers.
Edmonton is above the Sabres, 27.
Dang. Wow, good thought. Florida.
12. They need 14 wins to pass the Sabres.
Wow. Well, I mean,
they can't do it in this postseason. They've already got four of them.
And so, yeah, it can only get 12 more.
At least this was as of last night. So.
They hadn't won a playoff series since 96.
Right.
So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Okay, let's see. Who else has been down and out for salary cap era? When's the salary cap era start?
2005.
Red Wings?
No. Red Wings have 68 playoff wins.
Yeah, okay. That was
they stupid. Had a lot early on.
I know. Sorry. That was stupid. Throw out that guess. It was a bad idea.
Seven teams with fewer playoff games won in the salary cap era.
How about Ottawa?
More. 41.
Am I missing some really obvious ones?
Yes.
I guess I am. That would be an obvious question.
A very obvious one is Seattle, 0.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Okay, that's fine. You got Seattle, Florida.
How about the Minnesota Wild?
24. One under the Buffalo Sabres. Playoff games won in the salary cap era. Yes.
Columbus.
15. Yes.
I bet you Nashville's won too many. I'm not guessing Nashville. Oh, Toronto?
Toronto, correct.
I can't believe I missed the Maple Leafs.
Toronto.
I've got to be honest with you. You know what? There was a little bit of me today that during the Jeff Merrick interview that did feel bad for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Just a little bit.
Yep.
It was only in that small window when he was on with us, and then it went away. How many are left here?
I forgot who you mentioned. Minnesota, Toronto, Columbus, Florida.
Right.
Gave you Seattle.
I think that's all I got so far.
Okay.
Edmonton, did I?
Did you say Arizona?
I did.
Okay, you got them. There's one more. And put it this way, it's important to point out the reason this number might be as low as it is. I don't know if it came along with them in the move. It might have in the salary cap era.
Oh, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Winnipeg has 16.
That would have included the Thrashers.
Atlanta never won a series.
No, they played the Rangers and got swept once. Is that the only time they made the playoffs?
It might be.
I think it is it, and I don't think they won a game in that series.
So that's the bottom. Pittsburgh has the most, Boston number 2, Tampa number 3, San Jose and Chicago 4, Washington 5.
Boston's never going away. Maybe is this finally the offseason? If Bergeron retires and, I don't know, is Boston ever going to have a drop-off? They just hang around and hang around and hang around. Doesn't matter. They don't seem to get old. They don't seem to have any kind of drop-off. Tired of the Bruins. All right, good trivia. I like that one. It was very good. 803. I want to get the mind going. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
You know, I'm not really sure. And for me, the thing that always is going to make me wonder it is if these civil suits get pushed back. And if they aren't going to happen until after the season, will that make the NFL kind of want to wait until there is a resolution? And there's not really a way to gain any insight on that. I know, I think when the schedule came out, people were thinking, oh, looking at the beginning of the Browns schedule, trying to guess how many games he might be out for. I don't think that's how this works, because it's an independent investigation that when the NFL is making the season schedule, they weren't too concerned about that when they're looking at the Browns. So I just think overall, it's really hard to glean as this stuff is ongoing what things might mean until we see a resolution. I think it's going to be really hard to predict when that resolution might actually come.
That's Ashley Bastock, Browns reporter for Cleveland.com, on Deshaun Watson meeting with NFL officials today. Or this week, I'm sorry, this week.
This week at some point.
And I mentioned to you the Browns schedule, and she brings it up there, too, to talk about people thinking, like, oh, well, how many games will we miss? The Browns and the NFL and all this mess, it was Tom Pelissero who suggested the league could wait until next year.
Yeah.
Because the civil suits won't settle, and they don't want to get out in front of those. If, in fact, he goes and is not suspended at all, I'm going to warn you of the story of the redemption arc that will undoubtedly come with the start of their schedule.
I had not looked at their schedule at all until you've mentioned this, and I think I know where you're going. There is definitely a conspiracy theory to the first month of their schedule, right?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. One, if he's...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Not suspended, they're starting 4-0.
Well, that's why
I think if he is suspended,
he's going to be suspended for four games.
They'll survive.
Yeah.
Here are their opening four games.
Right.
At Carolina, home Jets, home Pittsburgh, at Atlanta.
And it feels like we've been spending a number of days talking about difficult opening schedules for a lot of teams, including the Bills.
If your toughest opponent...
This is the easiest first four games that I've seen so far on the team. I haven't looked at all 32 schedules. Mm-hmm. But you, until you said, hey, look at the Browns schedule, the first thing I thought of is somehow the schedule makers are expecting Deshaun Watson to miss some time in the first month of the season, because you go Carolina, New York, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and then...
Chargers,
Patriots, Baltimore,
Ravens,
Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is like night and day after the first month.
It's like going from junior varsity to varsity.
Right. So it's almost, if you believe in conspiracy theories, the schedule makers were told, don't load up on Cleveland in the first month of the season because we're going to be suspending Deshaun Watson.
And if he's suspended for four games, again, like you said.
Jacoby Brissett, right? Is there a backup?
Yep.
Should still go 3-1. Maybe lose to the
Steelers. 2-2 at worst. They've got the kind of roster that should be able to survive it. It's a good roster.
It is a good roster. And who are the quarterbacks they're facing?
Yeah, if it was Baker Mayfield, you might think 3-1 or 2-2 at worst.
Yes. And even with Jacoby Brissett, you should still be able to beat Carolina and Atlanta. Maybe not Pittsburgh. We'll see what the Jets are going to do.
Your toughest opponent is Pittsburgh, and that's at home.
That's right. So
it's also a Thursday night, short night, like rest game.
Yeah. Coming off a home game against the Jets, so it's at least they're not traveling. But sure, the schedule looks very suspicious.
Yep. So there's a couple ways this will go. He doesn't get suspended. He plays. They start 4-0. He does get suspended. If it's anything other than four games, people are going to think it was by design.
Uh-huh. It sure looks like they're trying to, I hate to say help out the Browns, but I don't know. It's such a contrast – in scheduling that it looks like they've gone out of their way to cushion the blow if indeed there's going to be some kind of suspension coming down. 803-0550 to join us. We'll get, hang on a second, we'll get connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. And once I learn how to use the mouse, we'll be good. TJ in Lockport, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Well, I was calling about the previous when you guys were talking about the Sabres and the salary cap. And I was just thinking, you know, with Toronto losing, and obviously they got to mix up something. Not a huge change, but something small. What about, like, a couple draft picks for William Nylander? We could take on a salary cap, no problem.
Well, with Nylander,
I don't think it would be enough for them to trade Nylander.
With Nylander and the Leafs, the thing about that, it's kind of a tough spot. He's not the best of the Matthews, Marner, Nylander group of players. He's the cheapest. His contract is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Under $7 million for Nylander. And if you're Toronto and they do want to move somebody, you don't want draft picks.
No, you got to get more for Nylander if you're going to trade him. If you're talking like 9-16 this year,
not even more. Our next three firsts, they would say, "Why do we care about that? We're trying to win now."
That's correct.
We're in the Austin Matthews window, the Marner window, so they'd want players. If you want to talk about a Nylander trade, a year ago, it might have been floated, Dahlin for Nylander.
Well, I was going to say, if they're going to need defensive help, they don't necessarily need forward help. You would be looking, Nylander, would you be looking to get you a good top four defenseman?
Right. Here's Matthias Samuelsson and more.
And by the way, that's nice because that also is a cheap contract you're picking up as opposed to, you know, going out and getting some big heavy lift in a contract and trying to make it fit in your cap. So, yeah, Nylander, if you're moving him, that's a real good asset. And you want someone who helps you next season, most likely on the blue line.
Sneaky Joe put up a Twitter poll, who says no?
There's a little.
Did you see it?
There's a little. By the way, there's a little bit of speculation in Toronto that would they try and find a way to get out of Tavares's contract, and I think he's got a no move.
Mm. Well, Sneaky Joe, I think it was Nylander for Cousins. Who says no?
I think I voted. I would say no. I like Cousins.
The Sabres say no.
Yes.
I'm scrolling his feed to see what the results were on who says no. Here you go. Found it. Cousins for Nylander. Who says no? The answer is Buffalo. The people in the poll said Buffalo said no.
But again, and you do have mostly Sabre fans voting in that. So it's you might tend to think it'll go with the Buffalo. You'll pick the Buffalo guy as the guy you'd want to keep.
I'm not saying no to that yet. First thing I want to do is I want to see how long Nylander is under contract for. Because his price is right, and he's under contract through for only two more years.
What's he making? 7?
6.9.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, it's very doable for the Sabres cap since they don't have a ton of long-term commitments.
It's a beauty of a contract for any team. He's fantastic, and that's not that much for a guy of his ability. So, and only two more years. If that were 4, I would do it. I would do it. But, you know, I'm not really eager to get rid of Cousins. I wonder about Cousins' ceiling. Sometimes he showed flashes where it looks like he's going to pop off. Then there's some that think maybe he'll just be a great two-way kind of defensive forward, not any elite kind of scorer. We'll see what he settles into. You know, he kind of can't write anybody off until they get a couple, maybe a second year with Don Granato, because if Tage Thompson can just blossom into a 38-goal scorer or whatever, you kind of want to leave the door open for your young guys to step into those spots.
Well, I wonder, where's Cousins fitting in? I know we're still in the don't number lines era, right? We still don't number lines with the Sabres, or was that a Kruger thing?
We do.
But if you look at centers, okay, where is Cousins? Thompson's at center. We had Seth Appert on last week, right? He said the long-term plan for the organization is Krebs at center.
Okay.
Mittelstadt, is he staying at center? So where is Cousins? Maybe Cousins drops down if he's more of a two-way guy, and he's not necessarily, maybe Mittelstadt they see as more of an offensive-minded center than Dylan Cousins. So Cousins is back down behind Thompson and Mittelstadt. Like, where does he sit?
I'm reluctantly going to be annoying about Tage Thompson as a number one center conversation because it can't happen with 30 assists.
I don't know if he's going to keep scoring 38 goals. I mean, that was a hell of a season for him.
30 assists is not.
No. Krebs is a playmaker. If you're looking for a playmaker on your top line, I would think Krebs has the best vision of all those guys.
Yeah, those guys go 1-2, 1A, 1B. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just very odd to see such a low number. We will, at that spot. I mean, 38 goals is great.
Especially when a guy in a wing was having a good year.
Yeah, it's right. Shocking. Right. You never would have thought that number was as low as it is.
803-0550 to join us, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.